Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
That's much better. I want to thank God for allowing us to come here, for inviting us to come and share tonight. I want to give God all the glory and praise and honor. As I said, I'm Stephen Lungu, born in Zimbabwe, from a Malawian father, a Zambian mother, and I've got three countries, Malawi, Zimbabwe, and heaven. So I registered my citizenship in heaven. So I'm a citizen of heaven, and I'm looking forward one day to go to glory, to be with our Lord Jesus, because this world is a boring place. Oh, so many things happening here, and in glory it'll be exciting. But of course, we are trying to prepare Australians to go to heaven, because when we'll be going to heaven, Africans will be leading with the singing, and you white people will be coming behind us. So we have come to train you how to dance and how to sing for Jesus. Amen. Oh, heaven without Africans would be a boring place. Yeah. I want to praise the Lord for coming here. Mostly want to thank you Australians for being part of the Ministry of African Enterprise. Before it used to be United States which supported us financially, but now it is Australia which supports us. About 70% of our budget come from Australia. And we want to thank you very, very much that you always support us. If you are not part of us, you want to partner with us, please, at the end of this service, you can write your name and so on, and pray for us and support us financially. We want to run with the gospel, because the Muslims are speeding up to, to grab Africa. They have the oil money. They are pouring in billions of dollars to Islamize Africa. And we don't have that oil money. We have you as our brothers and sisters. You are our oil. Amen. You are our oil, and help us to run with the gospel. And so many people say, what is $20 or $30? But when it is translated in Africa, I can buy a full tank of fuel to go and preach. And all what I want is to go and preach the gospel. And I do it faithfully, because I know the language, I know my people, and I know our culture. But if you come, you have to learn the language, the culture, and all the different things. But you send me to be your missionary, I'll do it properly. Amen. Yeah, so what I need, send me as your missionary to preach the word, and I'll do it faithfully and under the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God. So we want you to partner with us, and that we may run with the gospel. We want to say thank you, Australians, for being part of the Ministry of African Enterprise. And as I said earlier on, we fly with two birds, but with the two wings, we felt that there are two more pillars. So we added the one pillar, which is peace building and reconciliation. As you know, Africa is fragmented with tribalism, nepotism, corruption, and so on. So we're trying to bring reconciliation among the political leaders, among the church leaders, or the civic leaders, all different tribal leaders, to bring them together, to bring reconciliation among our people in Africa. It is, these days, it's not, you go to Somalia, it is a Somali murdering another Somali. Sudan, it is the Sudanese killing another Sudanese. Malawi, the same thing in South Africa. So it is one tribe against, you know, not another nation, but in the same nation, slaughtering each other. But in the midst of all what is happening in Africa, God is moving. God is touching lives. God is changing lives. And we are seeing miracles every day. And they say, it is estimated that 29,000 people a day are coming to Christ. 29,000 people each day are coming to Christ. So that's where action is. So support and pray where action is. I thought you were going to say amen. So that's terrible. Okay, well, I'm used to Africa when something, I say amen. Yeah. So I want to thank God very much that tonight we can share from the book of Luke chapter 7, as I share also about my story. I want to base my story from this book of Luke chapter 7, the woman anointing Jesus. And first, I want to bless the Lord tonight that we have our brother Jonathan, who is the chairman of international chairman of African Enterprise worldwide, and his wife Joan. And I have my brother David Langester, who is in our office in Sydney. And so we thank God that they've been accompanying me, and they are my bodyguards. let's go to the Word of God. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful time you have given to us. I pray that Spirit of God will take over this time, and I will be your mouthpiece to the glory of our Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that at the end of this service, people will not talk about Stephen, but will talk about Jesus and give him all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not going to, I was sharing this afternoon at the Sudanese fellowship this afternoon, and I was sharing that the devil has never stopped anyone going to church, has never stopped anyone to be baptized, has never stopped someone to wear a collar as a pastor, or to praise God in the praise team, in the band. He has never stopped someone. He has never stopped someone to be a member of any church, whether Baptist or Anglican or Presbyterian or Catholic. He has never stopped anyone to be in the youth ministry. The devil has always allowed people to go and worship God. You can go and worship the Lord like he did with the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 8. You may go into the desert and worship the Lord your God. You may go and worship the Lord in the desert and worship your Lord, but, now there is this word, but can spoil everything. You can say to your wife, you are the most beautiful woman in the world. You are gorgeous. I like the way you talk, you sing, and so on. But, now that but spoils everything. That, the compliment and everything. You said, oh, honey, you said I'm beautiful, and so, but what? You know, that but alone spoils everything. And Pharaoh was saying, go and worship the Lord in the wilderness, but don't go very far. You can go and worship the Lord, but don't go very far. How far? The devil is so happy to send people in the church, but he doesn't like people to go all the way to the cross. Because if you go all the way to the cross, your sins will be dealt with. Your sins will be dealt with. So he doesn't want you to go all the way to the cross. So many people go as far as the church building, but they don't go all the way to the cross. That's why their one leg is into the world and one leg it is into the church. They play both games. They play in the both worlds. Some young people live into sex outside marriage. They commit sin. They have fornication outside marriage. And there's so much abortion in the world today, especially in the developing countries, abortion is legalized. That's legalized genocide. That's legalized genocide. Children who are slaughtered almost every day. And so the devil doesn't stop anybody to go to any religion. And so here, as we are reading, we've just read from the scriptures, this man called Simon invites Jesus into the house, his house, for dinner. And maybe he tells his wife, honey, I've just invited that bunch of 12 disciples and their master Jesus. I don't know the flowers they put in the house. As you know, ladies, they want to prepare everything. You know, the cutlery, knife and fork, and so whether he used the knife, I don't know. But they were all waiting. You know, Jesus is coming. So Simon, when he invites Jesus, he doesn't know that I've invited God in my house. I've invited hope in my house. I've invited the way to heaven. I've invited the truth. I've invited the bread of life, the water of life. He's coming into my home. And so as he invites Jesus, he doesn't know that God himself has come. And yet, you can invite Jesus in your home and miss heaven by a second, by a fraction. So Jesus is in the house, reclining at that table and enjoying the food. But meanwhile, somewhere there, there is a woman who has been ridiculed, woman who lives a sinful life. Maybe all the fingers of that community, they are pointing at that woman. What a terrible woman. What a terrible. Each time she passes by, they talk about her. They talk about her. Be careful with this woman. We'll take your husband away. Maybe that's what they were talking. But she was a nobody. Among the Jewish culture, she was a nobody. Looked down upon, ridiculed, maybe they spat on her. She was a sinful woman. And according to the Jews, there was no way you could touch a sinful woman. The Pharisees were too holy, too righteous. And that's how I was myself. I was nobody. I had no value in the eyes of people. So was this woman. She had no value in the eyes of people. But somewhere there, she's troubled in the heart, all by herself. She hears that the King of Glory, Jesus, the Messiah, is having dinner at a certain house. And she says, well, how can I go? In fact, the house where Jesus is belongs to those top elite, the elite of that time. Now, if you are a nobody, very difficult to go to the top executive house, to the elite of that, you know, of that time. So she was pondering, how do I do it? But she took the courage. I know Jesus is that house. But she was prepared that if I go to that house, they are going to look down upon me. So I've got to go because I have a problem. I have a vacuum. I have an emptiness in me. I've been trying to fill up this emptiness with men. Still, the more I get more men, I become hungry. I'm thirsty. Like that woman in John chapter 4, where Jesus said, go and get your husband. Said, I don't have a husband. Jesus says, yes, even the one you have now is not your husband. And so this lady may be She was troubled with that emptiness. You know, in the Western world, in Africa or so many, people without Jesus, the things they want to fill up, that emptiness, they want to take money, they want to put a new car, new dress, new this, new that, new that. They want to fill up that emptiness with the things of the world. And so she was troubled, said, let me go to that house. The only way, my only expression, if I would say from my mouth, they will kick me out. But my only expression would be the waters coming from my eyes, the tears. So she goes. And when she gets there, she doesn't come in front of Jesus. She comes behind Jesus. And when she comes, she starts weeping. She starts crying. You know, there are some of us where, like when I'm reading my Bible, I enjoy and I'm there like I'm in the, you know, in third heaven, enjoying the love of Jesus. When I'm reading my Bible, I find myself crying, enjoying the fellowship with my Lord Jesus. To enjoy the goodness of the Lord when you are reading the Bible. Well, I mean, many people, this book is becoming a boring book. Man, this is the most exciting book, a good novel, a good love letter from Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If you want to read a good love letter, read this book. Man, this is lovely. I mean, you are looking at me as if I'm ugly. Wow. Wow. I'm the most handsome man in the world, actually. If you don't believe it, it's your problem. My wife told me that I'm handsome. So you believe what your wife tells you. And so when this woman is weeping, is crying behind Jesus, the tears just, you know, because Jesus had been walking on dust road. So she uses the tears to clean the feet of Jesus. Wow. But she's not done as yet. As she's crying, you know, cleaning the feet of Jesus, all that dust. Now he says, how? If I take my dress, this dress maybe I've been sinning with this dress. I've been committing adultery with it. No, I can't use this dress. She uses a hair. You ladies, your hair is your glory. Man, you want to see the glory of woman? It's a hair. A woman who spend all, you know, and with fell with all the, you know, the chemicals which have come these days. And she will look at her and then she turns her and then they comb again, you know. Ah! But this woman, she uses the very hair which makes her attractive, she uses the hair to wipe the feet of Jesus. She was going even lower and lower and lower because she knew the way upwards is to go downwards. Amen. Yes. There's no way you can go to glory without going downwards. Jesus finds Zacchaeus upstairs there in the tree. He said, Zac, come down. How do you go upwards while I came downwards? So often we miss God when we climb up the tree. Actually, Jesus is down here. And so this woman uses her hair to wipe the feet of Jesus. And now, as she's wiping the feet of Jesus, she takes all her savings of one full year, bought this alabaster jar, the perfume. That must have been the most expensive perfume. Wow. And then she takes that 1 year's savings, spill it over on the legs of Jesus for a few minutes. I mean, she takes it. I can almost smell the, you know, the perfume even here. Can you smell it? Wow. So she pours that, and then with the hair, she and then when she pours this perfume, the Bible says she went on kissing the feet of Jesus. I mean, she's kissing.
you know, with tears, with a hair, and kissing and kissing. Now, this man says, Simon says, if Jesus knew the type of woman who is kissing her, if he were a prophet, he would have known that this woman is a sinful woman. In Malawi, we have a proverb which says, a monkey is laughing at another monkey's tail. A monkey saw another tail. Ah, you have a tail, we have got a tail. But, you know, didn't know that he has also a tail. So we have that proverb, is a monkey laughing at another monkey with a tail. So, you know, this sinner, who is Simon, was laughing or complaining about the woman. He was in the same boat with that woman, but only that she was exposed. There are many sinners who are not exposed, hiding in the church. But inside, they've got short temper, unforgiveness, anger, carrying the past with them, the junk of the past. They are not on fire for God. They don't go upwards. They don't go downwards. They walk on the same level for many years. They've never gone higher with the Lord. Since they were born again, they've been on the same level. 20 years, 30 years. And for many years, since they were born again, they've never won one soul to Jesus. How can you say you love the Lord Jesus and you zip your mouth? How can you say, I love Jesus, but you have no passion for the lost world? How can you say, I love Jesus, while people around you are perishing, going to hell? My brother, my sister, when this woman came to Jesus, she was a nobody. She enters this house a nobody. No value in the eyes of the Pharisees. She had no value at all. These were the women who should have been stoned to death. And so when Jesus, this man is complaining, if Jesus knew, and then Jesus, listen what Jesus says, Simon, I have something to tell you, even tonight. Each one of us here, Jesus has something to tell you. And the message is, whether you like it or not, Jesus has something to tell you. I thank God for you Australians. You came to Africa to give us the word of God. You told us the truth about Jesus, and we embraced it. And we took that Jesus, but you have lost it. So it is my turn to bring it back to you. Hallelujah. So if I'm preaching rubbish, blame yourselves. That's what you gave me. Amen? Are we together? Amen. So blame yourself. If I'm preaching good, pat yourselves here. We did a good job. Praise the Lord. I'm an evangelist. I'm sorry I'm not a pastor. I'm an evangelist. But as an evangelist, I preach like an evangelist. And so this man said, Jesus said, I've got something to tell you. So often God has been having something to tell us. But you know, the noise of the world has blocked our ears so much that we don't hear what God is saying to us. What is God saying to Australia? What is God saying to St. Alfred? What is God saying in your church? What is God saying to you as an individual? How long have you been drifting away from God? How long? And will you continue drifting away from God? Or maybe there's a young man tonight. There's a young man tonight. You have got to make a decision for Jesus Christ. And here, when this man is told that, listen, there were two men, one owed $100,000. I'm putting it in the present, you know, currency. $100,000. The other one owed $50. Now, with $100,000, they owed the money lender. And so the moneylender forgives them. When he forgives them, tell me, who is going to appreciate more? The one who has been forgiven $100,000 and the one who has been forgiven $50. So this man says, of course, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. And Jesus says, you have judged correctly. Then Jesus says, hey, Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me water for my feet. But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss. Now listen to this. You did not give me a kiss. But this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You know, continuously. Continuously. Tears are coming out with the hair, but at the same time, she went to, there's an expression, you say, well, how do I stop thanking God for what he has done for me? How do you stop thanking the King of Kings what he has done for you? My brother, my sister, you come to a position where you have no ways to express yourself. The only expression is your tears. So Jesus says to this man, says verse 47, therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. Imagine, I don't know how heavy, she came in with a heavy load of sins. Her many sins have been forgiven. Now, the other guests began to say among themselves, who is this man who even forgives sins? And Jesus says to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Wah! Go in peace. My brothers, let's look at this. All of us, let's look at. She's coming into the house with a heavy burden of sin, many sins. Jesus says, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. In other words, she went without peace. She went inside without joy. She went inside without the way, the truth, eternal life. All these things were given in one sentence. Everything was given in one package. Forgiveness, joy, peace. eternal life. All in one package. But as she went in a nobody, she went in as a nobody, zero, no value. And she goes in. But when she is going out elevated, there on top, she is a princess as she walks out. Hallelujah. Man, can you imagine going a nobody and you coming out a princess? More than Princess Diana. Because she was a princess of heaven. Hallelujah. And that's what happened to me. But, you know, how do you stop someone who has been forgiven? That tranquility, the joy, the excitement. Ma, as she's walking out, those fingers are no more there. When she was going in, she's a prostitute. She's like this, every finger behind her. But when Jesus says, go in peace, she says to herself, I'm free at last. I'm free at last. As she's walking, I don't know what, I think she was singing as an African. You know. Woo! I think she was dancing, praise the Lord. Dancing, you know, enjoying the joy of the Lord. How do you stop someone who has seen Jesus face to face? How do you zip his mouth when you have seen Jesus? Man, when you see too much of God, problem becomes no problem. Because you have seen too much of his glory. So, like, you know, remember the 12 spies, were they 12? Sent by Moses. They all saw the four G's. When they were sent to spy, they saw the great fortified walls. Said, wow, how do you enter inside? And number two, they saw the children of Anak. They were giants. Whew, these guys, how do we defeat them? Number three, if you see the walls and you see the giants, and then they saw the land, that it swallows up everybody. They only saw graves. They said, whoo, there are all lots of graves here. Now, when you see the great fortified walls, you see the great giants, and you see the graves, number four, you see yourself like a grasshopper. He said, we looked like grasshoppers. But, you know, among the 12, there were two boys who had eyes beyond the four G's. They went before the four G's and saw the fifth G. They saw the great and almighty God. When you see the great and almighty God, my brothers and sisters, you have no fear. Because you have seen the one who is invisible. The great and almighty God. Wow. Many people have stopped on the four G's. Wow. Now, I was thrown away by my parents when I was 4 years old. My mother was given to marriage at the age of 13. At the age of 13, she was forced to marry this man she didn't love. And my father was about 50 years old. So a 13-year-old girl forced to marry a 50-year-old man. The gap was just too wide. It was like she married a grandpa. And then I was born when my mother was only 14 years old. She almost died, and I was put in the incubator for 2 months. And then my brother was born and my sister was born. And when I was about 4 or 5, the only thing I knew in our home was my father bashing my mother every day. I never saw my mother without blood. Every day she was being bashed. And on Sunday, I would see my dad carrying the Bible as a good church elder in the Presbyterian church. At the church, he was so pious, very religious. He would walk like a Christian. He would talk like a Christian. But back at home, he was a lion beating my mother. And every day, I wondered why was my father at the church was different. At home, he was different. That's why now I was not surprised. The devil says, you may go to church. Go and worship the Lord, but don't go far as the cross. You know, so many Christian homes are breaking up now because those marriages have never walked all the way to the cross. They've lost their first wine. When at home you lose your first wine, there's always fighting, always argument. Even for trivial things, they fight. Why? Because they've never gone all the way to the cross. That's why you need to take your marriage to the cross of Jesus Christ. When you take your marriage, your relationship, boy or girl, or if you are engaged, take that engagement all the way to the cross. Are we together, church? Yeah. Praise the Lord if we are together. Let me go through quickly. And then as I was, you know, battling with that, and one day my father walked out of the house, leaving my mother with the kids, and then later on my mother took us downtown. He said, Steve, hold your baby sister. I'll be back in a minute. So I was holding my little tiny baby sister. She went into the public toilet, and I was waiting 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. My mother was gone. I didn't know where my mother had gone. I was crying, and my brother was crying. The baby was shivering in the cold. I didn't know what to do. And then I was crying because the little tiny hands had been bending too long. My elbows were painful. I wanted to stretch my arms, but I was afraid I would drop the child. And then the police found us.
And then they say, where's your mom? They looked in the toilet, they didn't find her. Then they had to rush with my brother and sister to the orphanage and my little sister to the hospital. And that was another separation between the two brothers and their only sister. That took many years before we saw each other again. And then at the orphanage, I was beaten by these big boys who were bullies, and I was bleeding, and I was crying. The teachers found me. Why are you crying? I said, I've been beaten by other boys. They said, tell me their names. I said, I don't know their names. I've just arrived. I said, young boy, are you playing games with me? I said, no, I'm not playing games. I've just arrived. I'm a newcomer. So this man grabs my tiny little hands and ties my hands around the pole and slashes me 12 times. I was screaming and wetting myself. All that cry went to deaf ears. And following day, these boys would beat me up, and I had 12 slashes. They would beat me up 12 slashes, so much that I couldn't sleep even on my back because of the pain. But the fifth day, I said to myself, this is enough. This is enough. So I went to the toilet and started shouting against God. A five-year-old boy, I was saying to God, God, I hate you. I hate you. Why did you create me to suffer like this? There's a time you look for death, but death doesn't come by. You wish you were dead. And so the teachers found me as I was shouting, said, who told you to shout against God? And they grabbed me and tied my hands around the pole and gave me 12 slashes. But this day was different. This day I didn't cry. I just said, enough is enough. So when they tied my hands, he gave me 12 slashes. He was so used every day when the first slash, I would scream for dear life. But this day I was quiet. And he gave me the 12 slashes, but I was just quiet, taking every pain. And when he was undoing the ropes, he saw my eyes were dry. He said, young boy, you think you are tough. You think you are tough. So he gave me another 12, but not even a drop of a tear in my eyes. He didn't realize that when a boy doesn't cry, you have created the most dangerous boy. Tears are very good. When you have a pain, let out those tears. So many people have suppressed the tears. They've said, I'm too tough to cry, but your inner healing will take a long time. When you cry out those tears, they become medicine to you. They are like medicine. You get inner healing quickly. But when you suppress those tears, they become dangerous. So I left the orphanage, leaving my brother there. That's where I found myself sleeping under a bridge. That bridge became my permanent home. From the age of about 6 until when I was 20 years old, that was my home. And I don't know how many times I was missed by poisonous snakes. And especially when I was suffering with malaria on my own under that bridge, I would cry and say, God, just take me. Just take me, let me die. And I would go to the white suburbs to scavenge in the garbage bins and get all the toast bread which had been thrown away and, you know, food which has been thrown away. That's how I grew up, with this junk food. And when I was 10 years, I started smoking my first marijuana. And I had a gang of about 10 boys, 20 boys, and that became my family, because all of us, we were coming from broken homes. All of us were like orphans. And all of us, we had no love from parents. Rejected by our parents. And so that became my family. And so we started smoking, and at the age of 10, 12, I had broken into homes. I had two guns. And two guns in the hands of a 12-year-old boy. That was dangerous. And then I had my knife, which I had named the Dragon. Now, each mark on that knife told you how many times that knife went into someone's body. And from the age of 6, when I was 10, when I formed this gang, I said, you don't laugh in my gang. Never laugh. I was such a bitter boy. I never used to laugh. I was always quiet, unpredictable even to my own friends. I remember one day my friend was laughing.
running around the corner. I followed him, said, "Why are you laughing?" I said, "No, I was just laughing about something." And I pulled out my gun and shot him on his thighs. I said, "You never laugh in my presence." So I was such an angry boy because of all what happened to me. All what I wanted was to kill my father. The day I would see my father was to kill him because he brought me into this world, dumped my mother, beat my mother. That's the man I was looking for. That if only I could find my father, just give him one bullet because of what he has done for me. And so during that time, I went from bad to worse and so on. And then when I was 15, I joined the freedom fighters in Zimbabwe under Robert Mugabe. And it was in the bush where we had to sing, "There's no God, there's no God." You had to put your clenched fist like this, "There's no God, there's no God. Communism is good." So I embraced the Marxist ideology. And Mao Zedong was my God. And so I said, this Bible was brought by the white men to Africa to brainwash the black people. So if you see anyone with a Bible, just give him a bullet. Anyone talking about Jesus, give him a bullet, because Jesus was a white man's God. There was no way as a black man I would believe in a white man's God. So any church building, blow it up, because there were like classrooms where people were being brainwashed. So I was so angry. And when I was 20 years old, I was given a bomb, a TNT bomb, to go and plant it in a bank. And when I plant that bomb on Monday morning, when many white people are go to the bank, or 8:15, the bomb would go off and kill many white people. So I was looking forward to kill as many white people as I could, because I vowed that the only time you greet a white man, kill him first and greet him later. So that day, as I was carrying that bomb to that bank, by the roadside, we saw a big, massive tent. And we thought it was a circus at first, but only to hear they were preaching about Jesus. The moment I heard this name, Jesus, I was agitated, I was angry, bitter. I said, "Guys, before we get to the bank first to plant this bomb, let's surround this big tent in twos, every corner, cover every corner. At 7 o'clock, when I blow the whistle, throw the bombs at one time. I want every person inside to die. If one person escapes, I'll give you a gift of a bullet." He said, "Okay, Steve, we'll do that. We'll do that." Then one of my friends said, "Steve, it's 5 to 7. What do we do in 5 minutes before 7? And he says, "Well," I said, "well, let's go inside and listen for 2 minutes only. Not more than 2 minutes." So we went inside and sat right at the back near the entrance, and they were singing choruses. And my gang at the back, we started singing on top of our voices, but out of tune, to disturb the meeting. And one of the preachers came and touched my shoulder and said, "Boys, you are making noise. Please keep quiet." And I pulled out my knife. I said, "Preacher, if you touch me again, I'll kill you right now." And so he left me alone, and I was tossing the knife up and down. And suddenly they invited a beautiful girl from South Africa. She was gorgeous. And that put me off balance, because she was very pretty. And I couldn't figure out why a pretty girl becoming a Christian. In my understanding, Christianity was for the old, old grannies who are about to die. Or maybe ugly girls with no boyfriends. And so I said, "So how can such a pretty girl become, you know, a Christian?" But the more she shared her testimony, the more I could see the glory of God around that girl. And the more I saw that girl, she was shining with the glory of God. And then suddenly, she invited another black evangelist. And that man stood up and read 2 verses. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." And he kept quiet for what seemed like 5 minutes. He started crying. I said, now in my mind, the first confusion was a pretty girl. Now the second confusion is the preacher reading the Bible. Instead of preaching, he's crying. Why is he crying? And then he said, "I'm crying because the Spirit of God is telling my spirit that many people sitting here tonight are going to die." I said, "Oh, guys, get ready."
So I got one of my guns from the back and attacked him in front, and we started making our bombs ready in the paper bags, and that man starts preaching about the judgment of God. As he preached about the judgment of God, I didn't like his finger. Every time he would point that finger, like the finger was being directed at me all the time. And he would point this way, like the finger was bending towards me. So I pulled out my knife to kill my friend. I said, how can you go and tell the preacher about my sins? And my friend took out his knife and said, I also kill you. You told him about mine too. So we started arguing and we sat down with our knives. But it was that finger made me restless. So the next thing I said, no, he thinks he's clever. I'm more clever than the preacher. So this time when we do like this, I would duck down to avoid the finger. When the finger came, I would duck down. So I was going up and down, up and down. But little did I know that you can never hide the finger of God. And that night I broke down. I picked up my AK-47 and all my bombs. And I started walking forward at the feet of that preacher. While you are still preaching, I didn't wait for people lifting up your hands or stand up. While you are still preaching, I came forward, knelt at the feet of Jesus, of that preacher. And I was crying for mercy that night, like this woman. I broke down. Oh, what I had. I said, God, have mercy upon me. And that night was my turning point when I came to Jesus as my Savior. Hallelujah. I want to close with this. Don't worry, in Africa we close many times. But this is Australian closing. As I was crying, I went to my bridge, under the bridge, I knelt down, I said, God, you have saved my life. I don't know how to read, I don't know how to write. I'm 20 years old, God, I don't know. I didn't have the privilege of going to school. What must I do with my life? And the Spirit of God came upon me. I don't know what language I was talking. It was so glorious. And I said, God, it's enough, it's enough. And like an audible voice saying to me, Stephen, I will open your eyes and I'll send you to many nations you do not know. I'm here in Australia. God told me that I'll send you to many nations you do not know. And I thank God, the voice of the Lord in the morning says, go to the police and surrender yourself. And after 8 hours of interrogation, the police says, if your Jesus has forgiven you, we forgive you too. This Bible says, if the Son of Man shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Heaven forgive me, the government forgive me. And the police officer gave me money to buy myself a Bible. So my first Bible was from a police officer, which I didn't know how to read, but I enjoyed flipping the pages only. I said, God, if I'll read this book, I'll read it and read it and read it. And I love this book. And God, at the age of 22, opened my eyes under a bush as I was praying, God, touch me. And I was 22 years old when God opened my eyes to read his book. So the first book I ever read was the Bible. Now I speak 10 languages fluently. God has taken a nobody and made me a somebody, gave me value where I had no value. People looked at me as junk, but God took me and said, yes, I will cleanse him, make him my instrument to preach the gospel around the world. I'll preach to presidents, to prime ministers. Last year I was in Pentagon preaching to the CIA intelligence. And nobody became a somebody in the hands of Jesus. And God has taken me around the globe preaching, proclaiming Jesus, that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the Savior. And when I was preaching one time in Zimbabwe, thousands of people came forward. And among those people were crying, praying for them. And one woman jumped up, I'm healed, I'm healed. God touched that lady and saved that woman. I said, God bless you, come again tomorrow. He said, no, I've got one more problem. I said, what is your problem? He said, from the way you have shared your story, you must be my son. And that was my own mother. The boy she dumped away, the same boy became an evangelist. And the same boy led into the kingdom of God. And it wasn't easy to forgive my mother. I had to have inner healing to be able to forgive my own mother. It only takes God to give you that circumcision of the heart, the inner healing. So many people suffer with the junk of the past. Maybe you are raped. Maybe you are abused. You carry that past with you. God wants you to deal with that. Some come from the first marriage into the second marriage, but the impact of the first marriage impacts the second marriage. So God wants you to deal with that unforgiveness, bitterness. God can touch you today. But God can take you from this level to a higher level. That's where God wants you to be. You have been on the same level too long, on the familiar position too long. God wants you to take you to a higher position, unfamiliar position. It's only on that unfamiliar position you find God in a new way, in a fresh way, in an anointed way. Is that what God, you want God to do for you this evening? And God may touch you tonight. Shall we pray? Like this woman, where she was desperate. Emptiness, no joy, no excitement, no peace. But she went in that house as a nobody. She came out as a princess, forgiven. Maybe you came through these doors. You know you need Jesus. You know you've been on the same level for too long as a Christian. Your life is not going higher. You've been on the same level. Young man, maybe you have never come like this woman or like Stephen Lungu. Humble yourself to the foot of the cross. The devil doesn't care where you go, but he doesn't want you to go all the way to the cross. But if you are that person who say, God, I want to take my life all the way to the cross. If you are that person tonight, say, God, I've been carrying the junk of my past. I really need to get healed tonight. I want you to stand up where you are. Just stand up and say, God, I've been on the same level too long. I want to go higher. Just stand up where you are. Say, God, minister into my life. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah.